Let's take our Bibles to the book of Proverbs together. We've got one more message from the Word of God, from this text, from this chapter. Proverbs chapter 22. It's just one verse, though I think there's a lot there. This chapter we have been examining, have been talking about what kind of person are you, and we talked about our testimonies, our social status, our character, our parenting. And then tonight I want to ask you, what are your landmarks? What are your landmarks? Very interesting verse. And you know, when God talks about something in the Bible, I'm sure it's not just something that's applicable to certain people. And though this would deal with somebody that had land ownership, It's more than that, I believe. We'll see that in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 28. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And then if you just drop down the very next chapter, in chapter 23 verse 10, sounds much like it. "Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd bless the word of God to our hearts tonight, that it would feed our soul, that it would help our spirits. God, as we would prepare our hearts in a moment to pray for all of these needs, that if you don't show up in many of these requests, Lord, there'll be no hope. But we're thankful that you're a God that is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think, exceeding abundantly. And we thank you, Lord, for how you've heard and answered prayer. We thank you for the ministries of this church that we do in your name and for your glory that have make an effect in people's hearts. And we pray tonight that your word would have the effect in our hearts that you'd want it to accomplish, and Lord, we'd be tender and sensitive to that. Be with our children as they're in their Master Club program. Give them a wonderful Wednesday. And Lord, help us with your book, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse number, verse number 28. "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." That's in the Bible five times talking about landmarks. That's obviously a marker that somebody would put on their land. It's to show land ownership or private property. I'm sure everybody in here that owns property, you understand what your property line is. And I'm sure you wouldn't want anybody moving your property line. My dad used to have and mom used to have a piece of property in Decatur, just a piece of land. It was passed down, and they never used that piece of property. But over the years, one of the neighbors just kept moving the fence this way. You know, that's not, but you know, pretty soon there's more land. You take a foot, you take another foot, and so there was a condemnation in the Bible about that. And I think we can learn some great spiritual truths from that. First of all, I would say you should not fail to have landmarks in your life. Now, these landmarks or these property lines, they would be boundaries. Okay, so, for example, my neighbor, and of course right now I've got a fence between my neighbor's property and our property, but not the whole way, just a part of the way. And I don't get involved in his business. I wouldn't take it upon myself to go across the property line and play around in his yard. Now, even if I had no ill intentions, why wouldn't I do that? And I wouldn't really take it kindly. Now, if he needed to come over and borrow some sugar or flour, I mean, sure, come on, what do you need? But if I got up one morning and I looked outside and my neighbors were in my backyard having a picnic, I mean, there's no harm in that, right? They're not going to hurt anybody. But you probably wouldn't appreciate that if somebody just felt like camping out on your property. You want them to stay in their boundary, right? If a neighbor walked over and just was looking around in my windows, well, we're going to have a problem. You know why? That's my private space. Those are my boundaries. Stay in your boundary, and I'll stay in my boundary. That was the purpose of landmarks. This is my private property. This is the space. Think about it this way. This is the space or the area where I live. So I'm going to live here, and you're going to live over there, and these landmarks are a boundary that shows separation between where you live and where I live. Is that pretty easy to understand? Now, I think in the Christian life, it's the same way. And we live in a day where people are trying to remove all landmarks. They're trying to remove all boundaries in the sense of where we're supposed to live. You know, as a Christian, you're not supposed to live on the other side of the fence. I mean, the heathen have where they live, and we as God's people are supposed to have where we live. We're not to live over there where they are, and they don't live over here. Look, I don't expect lost people to live how I live and where I live, but in the same token, if I'm saved, I'm not to cross over to their boundary and start living the life and having the same things in common. Oh, what's the harm? There's no harm with my neighbors parking in my backyard to try to get a suntan, but I'm not, it's not going to happen. They're not going to harm me. But no, you live over there and I live over there. There needs to be a line of demarcation. There needs to be a separation between God's people and how they live and where they live. This is our space as God's people. And we're not going to get into your space, and we're not going to get into your business, and we're not going to live like you live. And what is that landmark? What's that boundary for us? That boundary and that landmark should be this. The Bible sets the boundaries. In other words, as a Christian, I'm not just supposed to live like I want to live or how I see things. I'm supposed to keep my life within the boundaries of the Bible. And if I get outside, I am failing to have the landmark that God wants me to live. God does not want you to live if you're saved like everybody else. He has a certain life, a certain space where He wants you to dwell, a certain lifestyle He wants you to live. And we're living a day where there are no boundaries, and the lives of God's people and the lives of lost people, you can't even tell the difference between them because all the fences are removed, all the landmarks are removed, and everybody's just milling around and living the same life and in each other's property. And that's not the way God set it up. He said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So don't fail to have landmarks in your life. And don't let others remove them. Don't let anybody remove the boundaries that this Bible puts in your life. Are you listening to me? Do you know one reason that we live in the age of Bible versions? It's because somebody's trying to remove the boundaries. Somebody's trying to remove the landmarks because the way it says it just puts a boundary on my life and a landmark for my life. And so, no, the world wants to rewrite it, and religion wants to make it say something different. And God says, don't let anybody remove those. You stay in the confines of this book. People want to remove the landmark of authority of the Bible in your life. This should be your authority. This should be your property line. And if God says, don't cross the line, don't cross the line. And there's a good reason for it. You're safe that way. My neighbors are okay. I don't have a problem with my neighbors. But if any of them just start all of a sudden, just if I see them all the time in my front yard and my backyard, I'm going to think, what are they after? The safe thing is to have fences, to have a property line. So, number one, don't fail to have landmarks. You can't remove one that's never been there. You understand what I'm saying? And we live in a day where people have no boundaries for their life. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. What's the second lesson? Well, the first one is don't fail to have a landmark for your life, but then don't move your landmarks. You know, before someone removes them, they just start moving them. In other words, here was the landmark, and God had a very big condemnation. He even used the word cursed. We'll read the other five times the word landmarks in the Bible. But he said, if you move those landmarks, you're cursed. You know why? Because you're a thief. You're trying to steal something. Like I just gave the illustration of that guy. You know, I don't know why that guy kept moving his junk. What it was on my parents' property. It's not that he was... Now, the other guy on the other side, since they've been up here, he started farming on the property. He planted... It's not even his property. Well, you know, in a roundabout way, that's stealing. You know, that's using somebody else. He didn't ask. Just, I showed up there, and there's a garden on the property. And on the back, here's all this junk coming this way. Yeah. I've even known instances where somebody put a fence too far in on somebody else's property and they had to tear it all down. Well, it's just this much, it doesn't matter. The landmark that was nailed in the ground says right here, and if your fence is this far on my property, you got to tear it all down and put it where it goes. Right? Now that's not being picky, that's just being honest. So here's the thing. Maybe people don't want to remove it. We'll get to that in a second. Maybe they just want to move it. Maybe they just want to move the boundaries and the landmarks that our forefathers have set for us. You do understand we live in a day where they're changing, they're moving the goalpost every 30 days. Isn't that strange? I mean, you keep moving the goalpost. I mean, what's the purpose? You keep moving the line, you lose everything. Be careful and be wearisome of somebody that's always changing things in their life. And they're always moving things, what they believed or how they live. You need to have some stakes in the ground that you have, that maybe your forefathers have nailed into your life. Maybe God nailed them into your life. Maybe you didn't come from a good godly background, but God's nailed into your life some stability, a foundation of how you're supposed to live. And don't be so unstable that you start moving that. People have no center of gravity today, and society always is changing, and people are always changing, and nations are always changing. And if you don't have some landmarks, you're just going to go ahead with where they're moving the property line for the way you live your life. Do you have some beliefs, and do you have a lifestyle that is not subject to change? Or maybe you've not removed it. Maybe you've just moved it. I mean, I've watched that over 30 years in the full-time ministry. I've watched how church people in their lives, they've just changed so much. And they just keep moving it back. And over here, you know what I did today? I even pulled up a... I pulled up some church services in the 50s. They're on the internet. Some Baptist church services, even some Pentecostal church services. Do you know, I looked at those things and I said, you know what? Nobody worships that way anymore, hardly. Because they just kept changing and moving it and moving it. And just like people, the way they dress. I mean, pretty soon people are going to go to church naked. I mean, they already go. I talked to you about that church down in Florida, or maybe it was in Mobile. They have a beach church. They all go to church in their bikinis. Yeah. And they sit and they all have mixed drinks and they have church. Oh, and they think God's fine with that. And look, you don't just wake up one morning and put your bikini on and go to the bar and say you're having church. You have to move that landmark a little bit at a time. And that's where we're living. And God said, look, he says, remove not that ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Don't let your lifestyle just keep changing with the whims of society. Have a center of gravity. Have some beliefs about how you're supposed to live and what God wants you. And don't change that just because you feel like it. Or don't change that just because somebody in your family's doing something different. Don't change that just because society changes things. And don't change it just because you look like a weirdo if you stay the same. I don't think you would appreciate anybody moving your property line. Don't move God's. Because you know what? You're his property. You and I, if we're saved, we're his property. We're bought with a price. We're bought and paid for. Our bodies belong to him. Our lives belong to him. And he ought to be able to set all those landmarks of our life without me changing them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Hold your finger right there in Proverbs. The third thing I would say about landmarks, first, don't you fail to have landmarks. And what are your landmarks? What are your landmarks that you just will not move? We don't believe in situational ethics that, you know, just depends on what the circumstances are. Oh, the circumstances can get really rough. You better have a landmark that's nailed down and said, that's my property line. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. Deuteronomy 19, 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. So he said, don't attempt to move your neighbor's landmark. Now, we know somebody would do that, trying to get some more property. Look what God says in Proverbs chapter 27. I think it could be a deeper lesson for us, though. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. Deuteronomy 27, 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. You know what I'd say? I'd say also, don't violate somebody else's landmark. You know, somebody else may have a landmark in your life that you don't think is in a proper place. But don't try to move. Don't try to influence your neighbor's landmarks. You know what we call that? I learned a long time ago as a young pastor. I had somebody really take me under the wing and help me with that. He said, preacher, you know, you can have real strong belief, but don't ever, listen to this, don't ever violate another person's conscience. That always stuck with me. Because maybe they've got a landmark that you don't have. But you need to be respectful of their landmarks. You need to be respectful of the dictates of their conscience. Does not the New Testament say the same thing about, he talks about people that eat meat and then some that eat herbs, and he just said, let them do whatever they want to do, and don't you offend them, don't you harm them, because for conscience sake,
They think they can or cannot do something that you don't agree with. Just leave their landmark alone. Leave their property line alone. You know, if we all, we don't believe in robotic Christianity. Look, guys, I believe that every Christian is, I believe in the priesthood of the believer, that every individual can go to God themselves, talk to God, figure out how God wants them, as long as they're in the confines of the Bible. And I'm not going to try to violate somebody else's conscience with their landmark. Don't worry about their property line. Worry about your property line. That's just good Christianity. And don't offend people. And don't hurt people by messing with their landmarks. Is anybody understand what I'm trying to say tonight? You know, that's what ticks me off so bad about our government. There is no respect of anybody else's conscience. There's no respect of their own personal heart, freedom, and what they want to do. It's just, bless God, you're going to do this, and this is the way it's got to be. And that's oppressive. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be oppressive to anybody. Now, in my house, I have to answer to God from my house. And things need to go, and I've got to answer to Him. If things in my house are right or they're not right, I'll have to answer to God for that. But I don't answer to God for your house. I preach to you. But you're going to answer to God for your own house. I'm not going to try to be oppressive to you. He says, don't move your neighbor's landmark. Don't even, because, you know, some people are very vulnerable. And they can be hurt when you do that. Look at Proverbs 23, the second verse we read there in Proverbs. Proverbs 23:10. It's very strange what he brings into this discussion of landmarks. Proverbs 23, verse 10. Because guys, some people just cannot put up with the fact that everybody else doesn't agree with them. Now, I get frustrated if people don't agree with the Bible. Proverbs 23, verse 10, look at it. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Stay out of somebody's field that doesn't belong to you. Do you see that? He puts that into discussion with landmarks. Don't remove the old landmark and don't enter into the field of the Father. That's not your field. Stay out of it. Some people just, they can't mind their own business. They can't stay out of everybody else's fields. You'd think some people think they were everybody's pastor, you know. It's hard enough to do that. You don't want to try. Just pray for people. But there are a lot of vulnerable people out there, and if you get involved in the fields of the fatherless, you can create an offense. You can hurt somebody, though you didn't mean to do that, by trying to get their landmark to be where your landmark is. So don't violate other people's landmarks. Then fourthly, I would say, when people remove landmarks, they give away their inheritance that's connected with that landmark. We read that in Deuteronomy 19:14. He said, don't remove that landmark because it has to do with your inheritance. Now, that's just like a piece of property, right? If your family wills you or gives you a piece of property and those property lines are there, he says, that's your inheritance. So don't remove those landmarks because that's the inheritance of your family that you don't need to give away. You know, as God's people, he's given us a great inheritance. Amen. The Bible talks about some people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, when he talks about that kingdom of God, he talks about righteousness, he talks about peace, and he talks about joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, some of the great inheritance God's given us is righteousness on the inside, peace on the inside, and joy on the inside. And you know what? Listen to me. You know what I've noticed in 30 years watching Christians in the ministry? I've noticed people move landmarks and they lose righteousness and they lose peace and they lose joy when they start moving the landmarks. In other words, when they start removing those boundaries that God put in their life for them to live by, and they start changing those things or taking them away altogether, they lose that wonderful inheritance. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that you know another part of God's inheritance? It's a blessing. Just God's blessing. 1 Peter 3, 9 says, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. God has a blessing for us. When people pass down things to their children, it's a blessing to them and a blessing on them. And don't give away those good things that your heritage has passed down to you. Look, my mom and dad, they've not passed down to me wealth and riches and all that. They passed down to me a spiritual heritage, a godly heritage. They passed down to me something wonderful in the Lord. I don't want to remove that from my life because I'm going to miss the blessing. I'm not going to chunk everything that they taught me and said and did and pass down to me. I'll miss out on a blessing for my life. And you know what? That's exactly what Esau did. Esau had an inheritance. He had a blessing that was passed down to him. You know what he did? He removed the landmark. He wasn't interested in it. And then the Bible tells us, you find him in Hebrews 12, 17, and he's crying and begging God, and he can't find a place of repentance. You know why? Because he doesn't have the blessing of his father. He lost it. But you know where he lost it? He lost it way before that event. He lost it by moving all those landmarks of a godly father and a godly mother in his life. And what was important in Isaac and Rebekah's life that they tried to pass down to Esau, it was not important to Esau. What they tried to give Esau, he wasn't interested in. That's why he went and married people that he married. The landmark was you only marry one of your own kind. But you know what he did? He didn't do that. I don't want to abide by that landmark of mom and dad. I'm going to go marry these heathen women. You know what he missed out on? He missed out on a blessing. He's going to miss out on joy. He's going to miss out on the goodness and the righteousness and the things of God because he gave away his inheritance by moving that landmark in his life. Go to Job chapter 24, the last reference. Remove not the ancient landmarks. What does that have to do with? Maybe you're not even a landowner tonight, but you do own something with God and you've got a life for the Lord and you ought to not remove those boundaries that he's put in for your own blessing and your own benefit. Job chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? In other words, if you know God, why can't you see what God's doing? And then he says in the very next verse, some remove the landmarks. Why? Because they're not seeing what they need to see from God. They're not knowing God like they need to know God. And so they remove those landmarks. Don't just move them, but they remove them. You know, in the Bible days, I'm sure it happened even in recent days, but not in this modern day where all the stuff's on the internet and it's digitally done. But somebody would move these big stones and they would usually do it. Listen, they'd do it in the night. In other words, they'd have these stones that set the landmark of the boundary. And so somebody would sneak out at night and they would move it back or just take it all away. They would move the proof that this is your property in order to get advantage of you. You know, we've seen that in our country. The devil has snuck in and just little by little taking away all the landmarks that used to be in our nation. Just remove them. And the reason that we're in the place now is because little by little, somebody took away all the landmarks that were in our nation's character, our nation's fiber. They just took all that away. I never forget. I got so frustrated, I forget where I even was. I probably was overseas. When they came down and the Supreme Court of America said, you know, that marriage was no longer between a man and a woman. You know, that's removing an ancient landmark. But how did we get there? There were a whole lot of other landmarks removed before they ever got to that landmark. And he says, when you remove that, you're in danger. Because you're removing something your fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. This is a different country than our fathers set down for us. I mean, you talk about public school. Thank God we're there and that we're able to be there. That's an open door. But what an amazing thing that a Bible can't be opened in the public. That's always been the landmarks of our country until about, what, 1970? I mean, the Bible was a part of the curriculum. Part of the curriculum. I mean, go get the old McGuffey readers. I'd rather have that educational system than this one. But what happened? Somebody came along and they said, we need to take that out of there. And somebody just went along with it. Okay. And so the next one, all right, you got to take the prayer out of school and that'll be the next thing. And then little by little, they just removed every line of demarcation that was a landmark in our society. You know, television. You know, television used to have standards. I mean, matter of fact, I'd say this. I'd say 30, 40 years ago, television standards were better than Christian standards today. I'm talking about television standards. They wouldn't even let certain things happen before or until after what? 10 o'clock at night. You couldn't even say things. Can you remember when you could not see alcohol poured in a glass and drunk on TV because it was against the law? It's against the law because they had standards. Do y'all remember? Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But the I Love Lucy show, they made Lucy and her husband get in different beds on TV. Now, that's a little weird, but I understand the reason for the standard. They did not want to show anything. What happened? Somebody made a decision to move that landmark. Y'all remember? Y'all don't remember. I'm not talking. Yeah, I am talking to y'all, but Elvis, they couldn't show Elvis from the waist down. Boy, we've come a long way, hadn't we? I mean, he was fully clothed. They wouldn't even show his movements. Somewhere, this is not saved people. This is lost America that had some moral landmarks. And somewhere along the line, somebody said, move that. We don't need to do that. I remember when they used to count how many curse words could be said in a movie or on TV, and there were words you could not even put there. What happened? The landmark's been moved. You said, preacher, that's right, that's awful. Yeah, but here's the problem. Christian people move the same landmarks in their lives. They've taken away what used to be wrong for me 20 years ago. Now it's all right. No, it's not. You just moved the landmark. I remember in American society, when you shacked up with somebody and weren't married, you were dishonorable to people that weren't even saved. It was a dishonorable life. You were looked down upon. And God forbid if you had a baby out of wedlock. And now it's just part of life. Why? Somebody moved the boundary. I understand that in a lost world. I don't understand that with God's people, with a Bible verse that says, remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. I don't understand that. Why do people want to move the landmark? To remove it? Because by their own private opinion, they think it was wrongly placed. They don't believe that their, listen, they don't believe that their forefathers knew what they were doing when they put that landmark in its place. They think they know better. Landmarks are not relics of the past, but they're markers for posterity's sake. And people desire to remove those landmarks because they want to wander. Listen now. They want to take away the boundaries and the landmarks so they can go anywhere they want to go and do anything they want to do and live any way they want to live and get in somebody else's property line, get in somebody else's life. They want those landmarks removed so they can be free to wander unwisely. They want to live in a world where every man just does that which is right in his own eyes, and that's not a very safe way to live. I wrote this down. This quote from the 1800s again. Long tried and well established principles need no innovation. Boy, that's good. In other words, you don't need to come up with a new mousetrap or a new understanding when the principles that are set are good and profitable and helpful. And the only person that wants to remove those is somebody that thinks that their fathers don't know better than they do. They know best. Now, does that mean that a father can't set a landmark that's in the wrong place? No, they can. But if you've got godly fathers, unless you're godlier than your forefathers, you better leave their landmarks alone. And unless your forefathers didn't have a respect for the inerrancy of the Bible, you better leave their landmarks alone. You know, Jesus warned about tradition in Mark chapter 7, but he warned about tradition with those that did not respect the Word of God, and he warned about tradition with those that were hypocrites. They weren't godly people. But the Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, tells the Thessalonian church, and in chapter 3, verse 6, to live after the traditions that he told them. In other words, Paul was godly enough and walked with God enough to what he put, the landmarks he put down for that Thessalonian church. He wanted them to abide by that and don't remove that. You know, we've got some landmarks here we've lived by in this church for however long it's been here, 63 years, a lot longer than I've been here. You know what? Here's one of our landmarks. We're a Baptist church. That's a landmark. You know what? Not moving it. You know what they're doing today? They're just getting rid of it. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It's a boundary. You know what's a boundary of? It shows that we do not believe that water baptism is for, that babies should be baptized in water. We don't believe water baptism puts you into Jesus Christ. That identifies us. That's a landmark. And we're not taking the name Baptist off just because it's not. Why does somebody want to do that? They want a new identity. What's wrong with the old identity? I want to be identified with all those old people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's who I'm not moving that landmark. It's anybody tries to move it? Okay, shoo. This is our property. The landmark of the priority of the gospel. All these flags, the giving. We're not going to lose it. We're not going to move the landmark of the priority of getting out the gospel at home and abroad. And guys, I can't tell you how many churches are giving up on that too. They're not even trying anymore. And if they have a missions conference, they don't even have a missionary. They're not even trying to sacrifice to get the gospel around. But that's a landmark that's so important for us. Our form of worship, the way we worship God. I looked at all those old things. There wasn't belly dancers in any of those 1950 services. It was just a church service. There was no smoke machine. There were no strobe lights. There were no bar lights. That's what I call them, those fluorescent. There was none of that. Across all denominations, they just had church. You know what happened? Somebody moved the mark. Somebody moved the landmark. So let's do something different. Well, you're not godly enough to know to do something different.
Right.
Leave it where it is. It's a trend as well. You know, this is a landmark for us. We go to church 3 times a week.
Amen.
Because we need to.
Yes, sir.
We need to. I need church.
Yes, sir.
And there was a couple times when maybe we started a church from scratch that we didn't have church three times a week because we're just trying to get the church started. But I'm telling you, I'm seeing this all across this country to where people aren't meeting 3 times a week. They're meeting 4 times a month. You know why? It's just not as important anymore. Got things to do, places to go, people to see. And I'm just not that into it. God says, your forefathers, they set those landmarks there for a purpose.
Amen.
And the early church, they met every day. So, 3 times a week is not that hard. They set that landmark because you needed it there.
Amen.
And we are not godly enough and smart enough to take those landmarks away. But it's happening everywhere, not just in our country, but it's happening in the church. And God says, don't. If it's been there, leave it there. It'll help you. It'll help you with your boundaries. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you would help us to figure out what the landmarks of our lives are and help us to live by them and help us to be what you want us to be and stay in those lines that you have for us. We thank you for the good heritage of our forefathers and what was important to them. God, help it always to be important to us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.